embrace the competition.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Don't fear it, embrace it. That's the message President Bush is expected to deliver today in a speech he'll give in Miami. He's reportedly going to urge Congress to support trade deals with Panama, Colombia, and South Korea. Marketplace's Steve Henn says some enthusiasm for free trade is on the wane.
If you ask Grant Aldanis why Americans are skeptical of free trade deals these days, he can offer a pretty compelling case.
You've seen downward pressure on wages across like 97% of Americans, and people are feeling in their pocketbook and blaming on globalization.
This frank assessment is surprising, considering Aldanis was a trade official in the early days of the Bush administration. He's still a free trader, but understands why Americans feel anxious about free trade agreements.
There's a greater skepticism about our engagement in the global economy generally and about free trade specifically.
Aldanis, who's now at a Washington think tank, says his former colleagues in the administration realize they're going to have to address these worries if they hope to get any of the pending Latin American free trade deals passed. But Aldanis is optimistic. He believes with the right worker benefits in place, important pro-trade Democrats will move at least one deal through Congress soon. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Some other trade notes this morning. China reported its trade surplus jumped to $30 billion in September, 56% higher than this time last year. They can thank Walmart for a slice of that. Walmart's CEO is defending his reliance on at least $18 billion worth of Chinese goods. On Thursday, Lee Scott said he'd like to be less reliant on imports, but that he needs low-cost products to fulfill his company's promise. That said, another toy recall, mostly of kids' stuff imported by JCPenney. Lead paint is the issue. A government safety group says most of the goods were made in China, but some came from Taiwan and Vietnam. A management shakeup at Citigroup this morning. A sliding stock price and dismal quarterly earning projections has led to the corner office maneuvering. Some still are calling for the CEO, Charles Prince, to go. Wall Street didn't have such a great day Thursday. The Dow closed down 63 to 14,015. The Nasdaq closed down 40 and the S&P closed down 8. Asian stocks fell back after a record-breaking streak. Renters are becoming the latest victims of the mortgage mess. Marketplace's Sam Eaton reports.
Here's the scenario. During the housing boom, speculators scooped up lots of properties. The idea was rent them for a while, then sell them for a profit. But things didn't really go as planned. Now a growing number of landlords face foreclosure, and their tenants are getting eviction notices too. Daniela Pelletier with the National Low-Income Housing Coalition says the problem could reach crisis levels.
The best numbers we have are from Hennepin County in Minnesota, Minneapolis, where they have calculated that 40% of the foreclosures were rental units.
And with rents on the rise, Pelletier says many evicted tenants are ending up in shelters. He says renters will continue to outpace available units. That means there's little relief on the horizon. Meanwhile, a record number of foreclosed homes sit vacant with for sale signs out front. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series exploring diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of heart disease through science and technology, premiering on PBS in October. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
It is baseball playoff season, and three of the teams heading into the pennant race may be in the big leagues, but they're from smaller markets. They've got smaller budgets, too, than the big, bad Yankees. I asked sports commentator Diana Nyad if this was unusual.
That's exactly right. I mean, you look at any business. I don't care what business. If you were telling me, hey, I got a radio show and I got $216 million, and I said, oh, I got a radio show and I've only got $53 million, which is the difference, by the way, between the Colorado Rockies and the New York Yankees, you would say to me, well, I'm going to crush you. What's happened, though, is that the smaller teams who are in there this year, the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Cleveland Indians, and the Colorado Rockies, they had a philosophy a few years ago, and they said, you know what, we're not going to do what George Steinbrenner does over at the Yankees, is just go out with our money and capture this one free agent, one at a time. We're going to have what we call homegrown boys, you know, make them grateful to be here, and they are producing. It's sort of being shown that that's the philosophy of winning in baseball today.
So it's the Moneyball theory by Michael Lewis, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's Moneyball par excellence.
And we're seeing it come to fruition now after years. It's sort of the same thing as a management theory. I invest in my people long term and they'll stick around and grow. So it's
And also, you know, I want to tell you, Lisa, that I was speaking yesterday to Bob Dupuy, who's the president and COO of Major League Baseball, and he said, you know what, Diana? When I grew up, there were three kings of sport: boxing, horse racing, and baseball. Well, guess what? Two of them have died. So what Major League Baseball did was, they said, the parity is killing us, the competitive imbalance. So what they did was, the most important thing they did was institute the luxury tax, so that any team that has a payroll of over $126 million has to start paying taxes, depending on how far they go over.
Okay, so all of this is great, but I can't imagine that the Major League Baseball people aren't sitting around going, yeah, that's very cute that all these smaller teams are in the game, but we really want the big guys in there because that's where we're going to make the big bucks and get the real viewership.
There's no doubt that it's an uphill struggle. I mean, you know, how are you going to get that casual fan interested? So Major League Baseball, like they used to, just advertise on ESPN and the typical sports networks. Well, now you're watching your, you know, Law and Order, or you're the closer, whatever, and all of a sudden a great human interest moment, not a sports moment, comes about. Baseball gets you a little bit interested. You know what? I might just watch the World Series this year, people are saying.
That's our business of sports commentator Diana Nyad in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.